Let's open our Bibles here this morning to the New Testament book of Acts, the fifth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts. We're going to go to chapter 2 and read some very familiar scripture here. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 36. So I hear pages turning. That's always a good thing. Now, there's pew Bibles if you don't have your Bible with you. You feel free to open those up and join with me. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning from this book. Starting to Acts chapter 2, 36. And this is while Peter is giving his sermon on Pentecost. And these are the words of Peter. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, there's a lot of joy in this sanctuary this morning. There's a lot of joy in my heart for what's about to take place. And Father, I just thank you. I just thank you for this day here at this church. I thank you for this word that we read here every Sunday that transforms lives. So, Father, I just pray this morning, Lord, that this message that I give will be pleasing to you, will praise you, will honor you. I hide behind the cross, Lord, and I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, once again, Lord, be pleasing to you and serve your purpose. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to take a little detour today from our sermon series on the parables of Jesus, because today is a very special day in the life of our church here at Beech Grove. Today we have four candidates who have chosen to be baptized to give that public affirmation of their faith. So let's ask some real basic questions and answer these questions. What is baptism? Baptism is an outward sign of an inward conviction. It's an outward sign of an inward conviction. The text tells us here in our scripture reading today from the book of Acts that about 3,000 people were convicted of the message that day. It says in verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. That's that conviction. They were cut to the heart. And what was the response of that conviction? We find that in verse 38. They repented. Peter said, repent and do what? And be baptized. So they repented and they were baptized. And baptism, and I need to make sure that this point is clear. Following Christ and being baptized means absolutely nothing if we don't follow that all with repentance. Amen? Repentance is part of the equation of being saved. We have a conviction in our heart. We be baptized. We repent. So when we follow Christ, the proof of that is in our repentance. So why do we baptize? If that's what baptism is, why do we baptize? Because we're going to do that a little bit later on today. Why do we do it? Well, part of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, when Jesus is about to leave the face of this earth, he says this, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We do that because it's a direct command from Jesus himself. We also do it because it was the practice in the early church, as we read the book of Acts, is that's exactly what they did. There's many examples of baptism that we can read and find here in the book of Acts. We read one right here where 3,000 people were baptized. Now, I can tell you right now, that's a whole lot of fried chicken, my friends. Okay? That's a whole lot of fried chicken. But that's okay. Hey, if Jesus Christ can feed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, hey, he can make that chicken appear. Bring them on. 3,000. We'll take on 3,000 people today. But 3,000 people were baptized that day. In Acts chapter 8, there's two occurrences where the Apostle Philip baptized two people, a crowd in verse 12. And then later on, at the end of that chapter, he baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter 9, Saul gets baptized. Remember his Damascus Road experience. He come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And just one more in Acts chapter 10, verse 48. Cornelius and his household were all baptized. They heard the message, they were convicted to the heart, and they were baptized. And there's many examples of that in the book of Acts and other places. The practice is completely symbolic. It's symbolic. The symbolism is this, and we'll see this here in a few minutes, that you go under the water. The symbolism is you go under the water unclean, and you come back up clean because you went down dirty and sinful, and you come back up washed and clean and forgiven by Jesus Christ. That's the symbolism that baptism gives us. So, we know this, that baptism is an affirmation of an inward transformation. And we have 4 people today that have had an inward transformation in their life. They come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they want to publicly affirm that. And I believe that when a person gets saved, they should want to share that experience and share that with the world, that they are now a new creation in Christ. It should be something that they don't want to keep to themselves. And I see a whole lot of people here today, a lot of people coming to support our baptism candidates here today. And that's a wonderful thing. Baptism is that public affirmation of a new saving faith, and it is a time for rejoicing for everyone. Now, in our bulletins, I have 2 misconceptions written there. I know a lot of people's theology is going to be different. Let me tell you what I believe the Bible teaches. And there's 2 misconceptions. And the first one in our bulletin would be this. If you want to fill this in, just go ahead. Being baptized, and here's the misconception. Being baptized guarantees, keyword, guarantees that I go to heaven. That is not true. Some religions and some faiths will teach that if you are baptized, you are secure for eternity. Many, many, many people get baptized for absolutely the wrong reasons. They get baptized when they're smaller because they do it as a class. They do it because there's peer pressure. Oh, she did it or he did it. So they get baptized. So none of this is not biblically true, but there are people who are under the illusion, oh, I've been baptized. You know, I go up and I ask somebody, have you been saved? They said, oh yeah, I got baptized when I was 12. That's not what I asked. I didn't ask when you got baptized. I asked when you got saved. Hell has many residents who have been baptized. Just thought I'd let you know that. Baptism is not a guarantee that you make it to heaven. There is a trend that's going on in Christianity today that makes salvation and eternal life appear like it's so easy. Well, it is easy, but it's not real easy. Here's what they say. They go up to a person, you share Jesus with them a little bit, and then you say, oh, all you got to do is this. Say the sinner's prayer, be baptized, and you're saved for the rest of your life. Well, good theology teaches that if a person is really in Christ, they will examine themselves daily to make sure that they are in the faith. And then if you pass that test, you repent of your sins, you become a new creation, and you go on with a changed life. A changed life that reflects the transformation that has been done within you. So that's the first misconception. It does not guarantee you go to heaven. But we have the other extreme too. The other misconception, I must be baptized to go to heaven. I must be baptized to go to heaven. That is not true either. Let me give you 2 right reasons why that is not good theology. Luke 23, verse 43. Jesus is hanging on a cross. And right beside him, there's a thief who's also hanging on a cross. And what does Jesus tell that man? Today, you will be with me in paradise. The man makes a confession, right? He identifies Christ for who he is. And Jesus says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus did not say, well, you know, thief, why don't they get you off of that cross? Let's find ourselves a pool of water. Let's get you baptized. And then maybe I'll get you into paradise. I don't think that's what Jesus said. He's hanging there on the cross. The man's dying. He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And he didn't say this. Maybe you could convince one of them Roman soldiers to throw a bucket of water on you, or maybe just put their and sprinkle you a little bit, and then you'll be okay. The thief on the cross made it to heaven without baptism. Also, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, one of my favorite verses, tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of ourselves. It is a gift from God and not by works, lest no man boast. We could identify baptism as a work, and then we could boast about that. But as I've told this church many times, two things are true. One, there's no crying in baseball. And two, there's no boasting in heaven. Okay? Those two things just don't happen. If we boasted, then we could say, I got to heaven because I was baptized. You got to heaven by the grace of God, my friends. That's how you got to heaven. And it's a gift. We contribute nothing to our salvation. So, that's just a little bit of background about my theology here about baptism. I believe in this crowd today we have four people who are going to be baptized. And at this time, I would like to call you forward. Mike Campbell, Cheryl Campbell, Kim Lipscomb, and Tim Truslow. I'm going to call our four candidates forward. This is something I didn't tell them last week. I didn't tell them they're going to have to stand in front of the church. Or else probably none of them would be up here with me today. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to come on over here. And the four of you, why don't you just kind of stand over there so I can kind of look at you. And the congregation can kind of see our baptism candidates. First of all, let me introduce to you Beach Grove. This is Mike Campbell. And this is Tim Truslow. And this is Cheryl Campbell. Cheryl and Mike are a couple. And this is Kim Lipscomb. And they have been transformed by the grace of God. And today, they are going to go forward with baptism. So, what I want to tell the four of you here today, and the rest of the congregation, I'm going to give you three truths that we need to remember, okay, about our Christianity. And so I want to make sure that you go into that baptismal knowing these things, and for the rest of you that you know and understand these things too. The first truth is this. Romans 10, verse 13 tells us this, that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? So let me ask my candidates this. Have you called upon the name of the Lord to be saved? Okay. Great answer. Great answer. John 3:16 tells us this, that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish but have eternal life. Let me ask you this question. Do you believe that Jesus is who Jesus says he is?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. That is looking at salvation, the salvation process from a human perspective. It's something that we need to do. It's a decision that we make to follow Christ. If you're sitting in here today and you are a Christian, you made a decision to follow Christ. Those are good, solid biblical principles. Now, that was truth number one. I'm going to share truth number two with you here this morning. Okay? This comes from a different perspective. This is from God's perspective. John chapter 6, verse 44 tells us this, that no one can come to Jesus unless the Father has drawn him. Do you know that you were drawn to Jesus by the Father? Amen. John 17, verse 2 tells us this, that you have been given to Jesus by the Father as a gift. You are a love gift from the Father to his Son as being part of the church. Isn't that great news? And one more. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 tells us this, that God chose you in him before the foundation of the world. Looking at salvation from God's perspective tells us this, You have been chosen by God for salvation. You are one of His elect. We look at salvation from both perspectives. From God's perspective, He chose us. From the human perspective, we chose Him. And both are equally taught. Both are equally true. I don't try to resolve all that. I just know what the Bible teaches. Truth number three. And here's they're all good. This is the last one. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14 tells us this. That the whole, you know, being a new believer, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, right? Amen? We know that. That Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance and your eternal life. Did you know that as a believer, your eternity is secure? Yes. Praise God for that. John chapter 10 verse 29 tells us this. That no one can snatch you out of the hands of Jesus. No one can snatch you out of the hands of the Father. Your eternity is secure. Amen? One more. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 tells us this. That He who began a good work in you and many other people in here, that He who began that good work will see that good work all the way through to completion. What He started in you, He's going to continue to perfect and to perfect and to perfect until the day that He decides to take you away from this earth. Your eternity, my friends, is secure. Is that good news? Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and then we'll dismiss to go prepare for the baptism, okay? I want you to answer. Hopefully the answer to all these questions is going to be yes. Let me just prompt you. The answer is yes, okay? But I believe that when somebody comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, there are just some basic biblical truths we need to know and we need to understand. Amen? Amen. It's just not a matter of the simplicity of this. There is some point in time where we have to let these truths really get inside us. So I'm going to ask you the series of questions and answer by saying, yes, I do. Do you know and understand that your sin at one point in time had you separated from God?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know and understand that the Bible is the only book that holds the only solution to that problem?
Yes.
Amen. Do you know and understand that we are not saved by our good works, but only by the grace of God and the faith in that grace, and none of this is from yourselves?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is God in the flesh?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the perfect and substitutionary sacrifice for all of your sins, for all of our sins, for all of my sins, and has paid the price for all of those sins, past, present, and future?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way back to the Father? He says He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's not one of many ways. He is the only way back to the Father.
Yes.
Amen. Do you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is now Lord of your life?
Yes.
Do you believe in your heart that the Father has raised Him from the dead?
Yes.
Do you know and have that desire now in your life to repent and turn away from your sins?
Yes.
That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect except Jesus. It's just that we recognize our sins now. We no longer want to do them. We want to lead a life that's holy and pleasing to God. Amen? Before we leave, just one more last thing. I'm going to kind of turn it over to the candidates here. Is there anything that any of the four of you would like to say to either myself or the congregation, or give God a praise for what's about to transpire here today? It's an open time for you right now. Is there anything that you would like to say? The floor is now yours.
I just want to say that I definitely want to give God praise and thank Him for the changes that He has made in my life in the last year.
Praise God. Amen. Good testimony.
And I would like to give God praise.
Amen. 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 Nothing for Tim? Mike, you okay?
Good.
Okay. All right. Kim, I hope you don't mind me telling this little story about she's crying already. we do Bible study over Kim and Lee's house on Wednesday nights. And when we start talking about baptism, she shared with me that she said, Mike, many times I've gone down the wrong path and did baptism all for the wrong reasons. And this time I know where I stand with Jesus Christ. This time I want to do it for the right reason. And I'll just tell you this. There's many people who fall into that category, my friends. There's a lot of people who at a younger age, they were 12, 13, whatever, they got baptized because it's what they did, or they had this big church event and everyone came forward and they got baptized. And I just say this, get baptized because you have a new relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to affirm that relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's where this young lady's at right now, and she wants to do that in front of this congregation, in front of these people. So today is a special day, is it not? Amen. I just got one last thing, and then we're all going to take off, and I'll turn the service over to Greg, who will finish up the service for us. Okay, Mike, and Tim, and Cheryl, and Kim, are you ready to publicly affirm your calling from God and the faith that you have received by His grace through the ordinance of baptism in front of all these witnesses here today? One last thing. I thought the last thing was the last thing. I got to say this. Just a little history. The word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse, to wash, to go under. I don't sprinkle. We go under. I just wanted to let you know that there's a baptismal over there that has a whole lot of nice warm water in it. And you're going to go under, because that's what baptism is. It means to immerse or to wash. Are you ready? Okay, with that, isn't this a wonderful day? Isn't this a great day in the life of the... I let's give God a praise. Amen. So what I'm going to do now is, Greg, could I turn the service over to you? Could you finish up the service here, dismiss the crowd? We'll all go on over to the fellowship hall. Again, everyone's invited. And the five of us, let's get ready for baptism, okay?